This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It is Dukes and Bell. Joe Patrick's going to join us coming up here in about, 15 minutes. We've been keeping up with a lot of stuff today. And one of the things we told you earlier is, and we actually let you hear the soundbite, J.J. McCarthy came out and said the Vikings have not told him that he is QB1.
Hmm.
And now, interesting enough, their general manager came out, first time he's commented, Mike, about any of this stuff. And listen, we said, is it crazy? Well, first of all, why hasn't Rodgers made the commitment? He met with the Steelers for a day.
Right.
And we're giving you the NFL, rundown here as far as the free agent quarterbacks. Russell Wilson goes to the Giants. It's a one-year deal. Yesterday, late in the show, and then, we're saying, okay, well, look, the Giants and the Steelers were the two places that Aaron Rodgers could have gone.
Right.
The Giants are now, they've got Jameis, they've got Russ. So what's the deal? And we were saying earlier in the show, is it crazy for us to think that the Vikings may be interested in Aaron Rodgers? And McCarthy, again, has not been told. He was the number 10 overall pick in last year's draft, obviously got hurt.
Because they shut that down last week.
They did. They really like him. They think that, again, and the reason why Sam Darnold ends up starting, we know, is because of the McCarthy injury. But, Mike, what's going on here? Because did they have direct conversations with Aaron Rodgers and we're talking about the Vikings? And the Vikings want McCarthy as QB1, but they won't rule out Rodgers' conversation? Why?
Yeah, because it's not like there's any leverage play here. You've got your guy under contract, J.J. Watt, on the second year of his rookie deal. And it's funny. Do you not believe in this guy? Are you not prepared to take your rookie lumps with a really good aggressive defense that Brian Flores runs, with all those playmakers you've got, decent draft picks? You're picking late in the draft because you're a playoff team. But still, What does that tell you if you're how does that mess with your head if you're J.J. McCarthy, by
well,
the way?
Well, they're saying Kevin O'Connell, who's the coach, and Rodgers have had lots of conversations, according to the general manager. Why? So this to me doesn't rule out the idea that this is something Rodgers is thinking about and totally makes sense as to why he has not made a decision yet. This is the only thing, Mike. I mean, why else would you be waiting to say, hey, I'm going to go be the Steelers quarterback unless you feel more comfortable with Kevin O'Connell and the conversations you've had with him and what that team's been able to do the last couple of years? Either way, we're going to see, but that's kind of what's going on out there. They're saying they want McCarthy as QB1. McCarthy says they haven't told him that, and now we're finding out that the head coach and Aaron Rodgers have had conversations, and the general manager is saying as such.
Well, here's the thing for us. As our buddy Bruce Dredd will say, what does it mean for Falcon fans?
Well, Bruce knows.
Well, I mean, would you then have a deal where you trade with the Steelers? Because for a minute there, we thought maybe Kirk Cousins to the Steelers was an option. We know the Giants, it's not now with Russell Wilson and the backup of Jameis, and they still may draft Shador Sanders. But if you're the Steelers, would you call us for Kirk Cousins? Now, it's not Aaron Rodgers, but it's, you know, it's sort of 1B. You know, I mean, if you feel that Aaron Rodgers, you know, he did certainly better. He had an earlier start on rehabbing that Achilles. Kurt got a later start, and obviously it flared up because even though I'm not hurt, I'm hurt. It did crop up. But so you got the Browns who really are interested in Kirk Cousins but don't want to give anything to get him. And then maybe the Steelers are forced, if there's any credence to what we're talking about here with the Vikes and Aaron Rodgers.
It is. And
maybe that's why Aaron Rodgers hasn't just signed with the Steelers.
Well, that's the point that you're getting to is how does this affect us? Right. That's right. Ultimately where does this go for us? But we're going to see. That's interesting stuff, man. They're saying they want McCarthy. Then you just say it. You don't talk about it. And you tell Aaron Rodgers that the door is closed and you go sign one of these other backups, Mike. And you roll with it. All right. More to get to. Joe Patrick's going to join us. We'll talk about our Falcons and Atlanta United right now. Let's talk some dogs. Let's hear from Kirby. Talking about the focus during spring practice. He spoke to the media. He did address the off-the-field arrest, and we'll let you hear more about that. But what about what's going on the field?
So, I mean, we put a big emphasis on running and stopping the run because we feel like we lacked in both those areas last year. So the spring practice has been shifted or adjusted a little bit towards stopping the run and being able to run the ball. I don't know if we've improved on it, but we've harped on it.
I like that. And he's right. They didn't run the ball well, and they didn't stop the run well enough. There were teams who got after them this last season, and you know, despite the fact that they played the toughest schedule in college football, you just expected the Dogs to be better against stopping the run. Kirby also talked, Mike, about simplifying some things to get guys to go play and not be thinking. And he's talking about the incoming class. He says, we got a lot of young players. Right. I need the older players. I mean, you know, they're old as far as being there 1 or 2 years, but we've got a lot of young guys in their first college football season, and we have to simplify some things so that they can just go out and not have to think as much. So he said, we got to be a little bit tougher on these guys. And he's been talking a lot about being tougher on these guys.
And it's funny because you and I, we get these tweets and we get these messages from Georgia fans like, Kirby, stop saying that. They're so afraid that you're going to run off all your top recruits in this super competitive transfer portal NIL world we're living in. But I think you have to run. I run my unit how I run my unit. And I think he's got to do what Nick Saban did and why all those recruits. See, even though you could argue there was no NIL money and but the top recruits could go anywhere they wanted, but they still chose to wait 2 years at Alabama knowing they would get to the NFL. Can Kirby still have that kind of operation, Carl? Because do kids and parents still feel that way?
I don't know. It's a great question. I'm guessing they do, but it's interesting for him to say, I feel like half the roster's in their first season. So we've got to be a little bit tougher to get them up to the UGA standard. Here's Kirby talking about the bottom in the middle of the roster.
And some people, they're just not driven like others, right? Mm-hmm. And our job is to find the right ones. Somebody said to me the other day, like, are you a good motivator? Can you motivate players? And I'm like, well, I'd rather get the ones that I don't have to motivate because they're self-motivated. It's the greatest kind of player to coach.
He's right. I mean, get Michael Jordan, you don't have to do a whole lot of coaching, do you? Self-motivated. Get Kobe, you don't have to do a lot of coaching, do you?
Right.
Self-motivated. Like, I'm with Coach on this as far as, like, all these guys who need, the rah-rah guys, let's go in. Right. I want a guy that shows them and go, who you want me to take out? That's the guy I want. And that's right. What Kirby's talking about.
You want killers. You want guys. That's why I said, you yesterday, you really got to fight. You hit that diamond in the rough. A guy like David Pollack, who wasn't a five-star guy, but then once he gets to Georgia, he gets massively big. He was like, he played nearly 300 pounds. He was a rock star that moved so well. And then he becomes a three-time All-American because he got the want to. How do you find that balance of a guy who really has the attitude and the effort and the work ethic to not split once he's number two on the depth chart? That's the rub, and that's if we're honest, some of those guys aren't there last year on the offensive line and certainly on the defensive line.
What did he have to say about the driving incidents? Mike, you said there were two separate incidents. Now, this is going back 5 or 6 days now, but again, with spring ball going on, he did address it.
No, I don't believe in ultimatums when it comes to that. I really don't think that's a recipe for the problem. I don't think that solves anything. We'll continue to look at each one of these on a case-by-case basis. And there's things that surround each one of these outside of just the – I mean, the immediate reaction is, how in the world can this happen again? And I get that. But each one in a case-by-case basis, you have to look at it. These are your children, because that's the way I look at it. And I look at what I would do with my children. And there's 18 to 19 to 20-year-olds. They make mistakes. And – the consequences that come with those are based on a case-by-case basis.
He's right.
The way you should. The way Bobby Bowden used to say that, and you know, any other coach that's worth his weight would say the same thing. I mean, look, getting a speeding ticket is one thing, but when you get reckless driving or you're sitting here trying to drift in a Challenger or whatever it is, you put your car in somebody else's driveway into another parked car, you know, in light of what happened, you know, I just think there's got to be, like, that's why I hate to go down the stroke. You sound so high and mighty and sanctimonious. You know, and that's the last thing I want to be on the radio, because I drive like a jackleg myself. But there's got to be someone to get this message across to these guys.
Yeah,
you know, when it comes to the driving stuff cropping up again.
Look, I just think, and I don't know what Josh Brooks, and I think Josh, matter of fact, I know that they've done things for the program.
Multiple speakers,
behind
right?
the scenes, Mike. They're not talking about.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuff that people know about. Behind the scenes, they've done stuff to try to get guys to understand the magnitude of, you screw up, it's everybody. It's not just you. And I don't know. You asked me earlier, do you need the family to come in or whatever? Look, all I think, you know.
Me, like, would you bring in the family of Devin Willick?
Correct.
Correct.
To say, here's how our lives were changed and affected, and this could easily be you if you make this mistake. I mean, I'm with you, but I just think that over the last, what has it been now? What are we talking about? 3 years?
Yeah.
Right? 3 years?
24 now. Four seasons, yeah.
So is this excessive for one program? Take Georgia out of it. If this was a blank university, is this excessive for any program to say these are the amount of events we've had to deal with and that are public?
And this is where we kind of get a little bit off track, but still, I understand what people say. I know some Georgia fans, and maybe they don't want to, you know, get into the real argument, which is guys got to make better decisions. But we don't know what goes on at school X or Y or other SEC schools, because you guys, let's be honest, people sometimes feel that Athens Clark County, look, if a guy's doing 75 and a 45, okay, the cop's going to light you up. There's no way to get around that. You know, my beef was always when they'd have some narc would rat out somebody for smoking a joint in a dorm. That was ridiculous. But, you know, what goes on at Miss State? What goes on at Auburn or Ole Miss or anywhere else where, you know, do the cops look the other way? Because we know that, I mean, I know it. My experience is when I was at Virginia Tech or FSU, there was a time and a place when the cops did look the other way.
404-726-0929. You guys can let us know what you think. I do think Kirby and company are trying to do everything they can. And I do agree with that last statement, though. Everything is case by case. You cannot draw this broad brush or have a broad brush and say, you do this, and this is the punishment. This is the ultimatum. You can't do that. You wouldn't do that with your kids.
No, and then, you know, that's why we always say don't rush to judgment on some of these alleged domestic violence situations, because, yeah, sometimes you get some two people that shouldn't be together and you don't know what the truth is, and you're going to wait for it to get adjudicated.
All right, man, we got more to get to. Joe Patrick's going to stop by. We'll talk about Leonard Floyd. Is he going to be impactful? I mean, really impactful. We'll talk about it next. It is Dukes and Bell. When he said he wanted to be the smoking gun, he had to kind of explain to reporters. Our Joe Patrick covers the Falcons on a daily basis. Also, we can talk some Atlanta United with him as he covers them as well for 92.9 The Game. But, Joe, I want to start with the Falcons and the introductory press conference for Leonard Floyd. And I said to Mike, is he going to be a difference maker? Look, I had my reservations when the signing first happened. We got word that he was coming here, and I'm like, okay, I get it. Georgia boy coming home. Can he still be productive? But I think my bias at the time, that particular day, had more to do with Judon than it did with Leonard. And I said yesterday, Joe, I got to put that aside and let Leonard Floyd come in here and ball out for us and judge him based on what he's going to do. Is he going to have impact for us?
Yeah, I think he very well could. I mean, I certainly expect him to have, you know, quite a few sacks, and it's been obviously a position that the, you know, Falcons have been needing production for so long. And, you know, I don't think he's going to come out and obviously be some, like, you know, NFL leader or whatever, but if he is able to replicate like a 10 sack, you know, production like he did last year, then I think that's a pretty substantial upgrade for the Falcons. And I kind of really see him as being a guy who is, you know, I think we need to think about him as basically being like an upgrade on a Lorenzo Carter, who has been a starter and, you know, a three-down player, you know, for this team a lot. Obviously, these players at his position come in and out of games quite a bit. But, you know, I think he could be one of those guys who really is an impact player for this team. And I don't think they're done adding to this group. Obviously, in the draft, I think we're all expecting them to dish out some of their top draft capital at that position as well. But I certainly expect him to just offer a little bit more juice to, you know, this edge rushing group, which has, he's just a guy to me, even though he's later in his career, he just kind of has that, you know, he talked about kind of being that smoking gun. He's just kind of like a, you know, he's just got that juice to get to the quarterback, and he's learned over his years in how to do that. And I think that obviously the fact that he's worked with Raheem Morris before, you know, is impactful here. And I think that he comes into a situation where he can really lead a group of young, hungry edge rushers. And I kind of put this to on Andy and Randy last week, but it feels to me, guys, like when we're talking about this Falcons pass rushing unit, when you're in this landscape now where Grady Jarrett is no longer part of the team, I do wonder if that kind of, you know, allows a more kind of like freeing mentality of like, we have to invent ourselves. We have to create our own identity without this guy who's been a tentpole for this organization for so long. And sometimes when you have those situations, it can bring out the best in guys. And I think that Leonard Floyd is going to be, you know, very key for the Falcons. He's obviously, you know, who knows how long he'll be here over the course of his career. Maybe it is just the 1 year, but I think he's going to have a substantial impact in leading this group this year and potentially leading some of these younger guys into, you know, beneficial careers for the Falcons down the line.
And that's the thing, as Joe Patrick joins this guy, Smoking Joe with us on Dukes and Bell, is Rook Aroro. This is your year to really step up. It was year two. You know, some guys, you've seen get into an NFL roster and they pop, and you know immediately. You know, and we just haven't had to seem to get that with our defensive picks. So that's one guy we didn't get. Now, it's not his fault he got injured, but Braylon Trice. Right. We know that Ebikadi, it's year four. This is a contract year as a second-round pick. So maybe this year Ebikadi really hits the gas.
I think so. I mean, I think Ebikadi has gotten better every single year. I know that, you know, the start that he got off to in his career was kind of from, I think, maybe a lower floor than people were expecting, especially considering the Falcons traded up in that second round to grab AK. But I really think he's gotten more dangerous. Just, you can just see it, the explosion off the edge, the different moves that he's working in. And I think you also see teams kind of adjusting for that. So I'm expecting him to step up this year. And again, like you mentioned there, Mike, on a contract year, that's really when, you know, he's going to be incredibly motivated to go out there and have the best year of his career. And then the Rook Aroro, I got to say, he is the one player, maybe the player I'm most excited to watch next year, because I got to say, I know that people are down on him because they didn't really – Yeah, exactly. I mean, the reps that he showed last year, I thought he really stood out. It was just you mentioned it, Mike, he got hurt. But he also, you know, the defensive line rotations last year, I thought were not ideal for this group. And he kind of got buried. The Falcons parted ways with their defensive line coach. And I do wonder if, you know, Raheem Morris was not, you know, pleased with the playing time that some of these guys got. And I think Rook, if he can stay healthy, I think he is going to be a very impactful player who can move all around along that interior. And again, really kind of create a different dynamic than what this team had with Grady Jarrett manning one of those spots inside.
Joe, what do you think about where this draft is headed? We are a month away. Pro days are going on as we speak. Ohio State had their pro day today. Falcons had a large contingent there. I mean, they're all over the country right now checking out these pro days. Where do you think this goes with what we do specifically with those first two picks? I don't know what we do late, but we only have a limited amount of picks. And my thought is, and I've been saying this, I think we go defense with all three. That's what I think we should do.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I think that, and I think every indication would lead us to that is the way the Falcons are going to go. Obviously, they really don't have that many openings on the offensive side of the football. outside of the center position, obviously, but I just don't know, considering the situation the Falcons are in, if a rookie really makes sense at that position. I think the team is much more likely to, you know, potentially bring in some veteran help at some point along the way and then just have a competition between guys who have NFL experience. And then maybe you have a Ryan Neuzel who emerges, and maybe you go, you just address that position, the long-term health of that position later down the road. So I agree with you, Carl. I think that this team is going to go defense in the draft. I just think it's a matter of, you know, kind of what flavor they want to go with. It's tough. I've been saying, you know, obviously edge this entire pre-draft process, and I still kind of lean that way, but every time I look at the player pool, I just see the sheer amount of quality edge rushers that are in this draft, and you see ones that are certainly going to be available in the second round for the Falcons. And if they can get a quality player there, could they then potentially grab, you know, a quality starting nickel that is a starting player in the NFL these days with that first round pick? We're obviously a safety. Malachi Starks has been a hot name, obviously, but when they signed Jordan Fuller, maybe that got tamped down. You know, they could go any number of different ways, guys, but I have to think that they're going to really, really hit this thing hard and obviously add to that edge room at some point in this draft. There's one guy, speaking of the Ohio State contingent, and I'm an Ohio State fan, so I kind of know these guys. It's kind of funny. It's a good pro day to be at, because there are players all up and down the draft. You have quality players that are going to be available in the fifth round and the sixth round that are coming out of that program that they will have seen today at that pro day. But JT Tuimoloau, he measured in with a really impressive nearly 35-inch arms and an 81.5-inch wingspan. That is the kind of length that Raheem Morris has stated that he likes and that Jeff Ulbrich likes. He stated that before Jeff Ulbrich had rejoined the team as the defensive coordinator. So I would say, for anybody trying to project what the Falcons might do in the draft, especially at the defensive line position, really focus on those length numbers, the arm length, the wingspan. They have apparently done a study, and they found that that helps these guys shed blocks at a rate that is correlative. So that, I think, will be a primary filter, basically, for this team when they go to select who's going to be those guys that they line up on the edge.
Smoking Joe Patrick with us, guys, in the WaitForIt.com hotline. We learned today that the Falcons moved some money around. We already knew about Jake's restructuring, but some Lindstrom and A.J. Terrell. So they've got, after they signed their draft class, about $7 million left. You mentioned Ryan Neuzel when Carl talked earlier about your potential. Any more free agent moves? I guess the only other guy I would even remotely consider would be David Andrews, who got cut by the Patriots, who's still out there coming off an injury at center.
Right. And, you know, I am very David Andrews curious as well. The only issue there is he was released apparently with a failed physical designation by the Patriots. So he's obviously going to have to pass that if he can be signed. But I would definitely think, obviously being a local guy, that the Falcons would definitely be interested in that one. And I think that, guys, usually what we see happen is, you know, we have these waves of free agency. We've already kind of been through one. I think we're kind of into this other one right now where you're getting some kind of secondary pieces. And then usually there's more free agency that happens after the draft. And part of that is because you go into the draft with certain needs. You come out of it maybe having filled some needs and not filled some others. So there's always some filling in the gaps that happens at that point. And I think that that's most likely, when this could take place for the Falcons. And obviously we know they've got other players on their roster that may be waiting until after the draft to move. So I definitely think that there's going to be more moves. You know, the people at the facility, whether it's Terry Fontenot or anybody else, says it all the time. They're constantly trying to improve this roster, even during an NFL season, trying to, you know, improve the talent that's on the practice squad and whatnot. So I think they're going to do, you know, take every measure, do all their due diligence on trying to, you know, fill these holes the best they can.
We're talking with Joe Patrick, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Real quick, before we let you go, want to get your thoughts on United. This offense has not looked like we thought it would. What do you think the reasoning is?
Yeah, you know, it really hasn't. And I think that they've actually played okay, but they're just not getting the goals for it. And they've also conceded some really terrible goals that has made the results poor to this point. And it's just all that has, you know, put it in a stew and stir it up, and you've just got a pile of steaming frustration there. So, I think there are some tactical tweaks that the coach, Ronnie Dyla, can make. I actually wrote something about it today, that he could potentially, you know, flip the wingers. Miguel Almiron played kind of drifted to the left side when he played as a number 10 for Atlanta United previously, and I think that he could have some joy out there on the left, and you move Salah back into a comfortable position on the right. But ultimately, I don't think that a move is necessarily needs to be made. I think there is enough talent on this roster where it's going to be a matter of time. It's still early in the season, and they certainly have quality talent that can put the ball in the back of the net. So personally, I'm not as worried, I think, as a lot of fans are out there.
Good stuff, Joe. Appreciate you, man, as always, for stopping by. We'll talk soon, my man.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Falcons have a lot of decisions to make. And look, over the next 3.5 weeks, we're going to be all over it and breaking down all the potential picks that they could make, because there's still a lot of things that could happen. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, what if you spend $45 million on a De Niro movie and nobody showed up to see it? Also coming up... I don't know how you feel and where you stand. We're going to stay in our lane. But again, no matter what your political stripe is, don't key a man's car. A commentary on the way in Guy Talk. When a play is play on a hope day. I joked around with Carl. He knew something was afoot when I came in the door today here at the studios in Midtown. And I was like, freaking traffic. People are maniacs out here today. It was just a wacky day. People were just like cutting people off left and right. Had that obligatory guy come from like the middle lane, all the way over to the right side and then get on the exit on 10th. The good news, he almost took out one of those water boys. But other than that, Carl, it was just very dangerous because he's throwing shrapnel and all the rocks and debris that's always in the middle between the exit lane and the actual like highway.
So you're trying to dodge all that.
I'm like, I got a brand new car here.
Yeah.
Get up next to the guy. I'm like, thanks for kicking all the rocks and the, you know, the schmutz all over me, you nitwit. And then I got downstairs and, like, you know, like my dad, I, you know, I start detailing the car. Then next, you know, I can't stop.
Oh, yeah.
Then I got to do a full detail. Then I'm waiting for somebody to go, hey, man, how much for my car?
Hey, I didn't know they did a car wash down here.
I was going to say, I do like that Meguiar's instant detail. It's good for your car, by the way. It's got a little wax in it if you ever need to, like, get the schmutz off. Anyway, a couple of things from the world of sports and TV. We all know that Stephen A., like a lot of people, felt that Bronny didn't deserve to be in the NBA. And he said as much because he's paid to have an opinion.
Yeah.
And some would say that, you know, even if you are the biggest LeBron fan, LeBron put his kid in a really bad spot because until he went for 17 in a blowout against the Bucks, he really hasn't shown much of anything. But LeBron obviously got into it with Stephen A., and then Stephen A. kind of started talking about it. LeBron goes on Pat McAfee today. Listen to what he had to say about Stephen A. Smith.
Yep.
Which leads, obviously, to you and Stephen A. Hey, legit, that feels like a moment that had been brewing for a long time.
He's like on a Taylor Swift tour run right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're watching it. Yep. We're all seeing it.
Oh, yeah.
You're seeing it as well.
It started off with, I didn't want to address it.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't want to address it. I wasn't going to address it. But since the video came out, I feel the need to address it.
Hey, viral. You talk about it.
Are you kidding me? If there's one person that couldn't wait to the video to drop so you can address it, it's your like, seriously. He completely like missed the whole point. The whole point. Never would I ever not allow people to talk about the sport, criticize players about what they do on the court. That is your job to criticize or to, you know, be in a position where, okay, if a guy's not performing, you know, that is all part of the game. That's all part of the game. But when you take it and you get personal with it, it's my job to not only protect my damn household, but protect the players.
Now, to a point, I agree, but LeBron, I just think you put your kid in a difficult position. And if you didn't expect people like Stephen A. to have an opinion on that, you're barking up the wrong tree. Now, I don't think Stephen A. crossed any line talking about Bronny's inability to be a legitimate NBA roster member.
I don't either. As I said, I think this goes deeper than that. I think it's, you know, Stephen A. over the years has completely eviscerated him when it comes to the comparison of Michael Jordan and LeBron, and you know, he's never given him, I don't believe, the due or his respect. And so I think a lot of that is just built up. And this was the excuse to include all of the stuff that LeBron said to him. But it was based around his son. I agree with you, Mike. I don't think that this was – I cannot recall, maybe somebody can let us know, where Stephen A. went on and said, you know what, Bronny is a little jerk.
Right.
He is a little blankety-blank. He's never done any of that. It's always been what I've said. He's not that good. I don't think he's an NBA player right now. There's nothing wrong with that. Does it mean he turns into one down the road? Maybe. But if you can't handle the fact that, hey, I don't think your son is as good as people think he is. And then to your point, you put him in this position, but yet you don't want us to criticize him.
Right.
So I do think there's some validity there for Stephen A., but I hear what LeBron's saying, and I'm glad he addressed it because I asked Chris this. I said, did he even talk about this? You go on any one of these shows and not discuss what you had to do or say to Stephen A.?
Right.
Now you're a coward.
And it's kind of funny, though, because obviously there's a lot of tension in ESPN. There's a lot of folks in that camp that didn't want McAfee getting hired, and now he's throwing shade at one of their big properties, their biggest, highest-paid property in Stephen A. LeBron, I'll just give you the quote on this one. You also asked about Windhorst, because I always thought that Windhorst, didn't he follow LeBron at the time he was in high school in Cleveland, in Akron? Mm-hmm. Right? That was about it. He goes, LeBron said, quote, I see Brian Windhorst on one of those shows not too long ago. This guy was saying he's like my blanking best friend. These guys are just weird. A lot of guys in media, I saw a couple of folks say, like, that's mean by LeBron, because they don't think that Windhorst ever said he was a friend of LeBron's. He just covered him all this time.
Correct. Yeah, and there's a difference. I mean, there are cats that, you know, you get to know or you're around enough that you've covered them. And for Windhorst, I mean, ironically, Mike, his career has been tied to the time that LeBron's fame rose and he's been on now ESPN and he was the go-to guy. It's not his fault. Like, he was there. I mean, you know, so I'm with you. I don't think that they're besties, but right. I think that's an inaccurate statement as well.
You know, when I saw the ads for the Alto Kings, I was like, I don't know about this one. I love Robert De Niro in mob movies. We all love Goodfellas. We all love Casino. We all love any mob movie he's been in. But this one I thought was just a bridge too far as how they planned it. They basically have Robert De Niro playing two mob bosses in the same era. And so a lot of folks felt like, and I don't know if you watched HBO. Did you watch The Sympathizer with Robert Downey Jr.?
I did not.
It was about a South Vietnamese intelligence officer who's actually working for the North Vietnamese, and he comes to America after Saigon falls. But Robert Downey Jr. plays like four roles in it.
Oh.
And it got so distracting because it was just so over the top.
Sure.
You know, when Peter Sellers plays four roles in Dr. Strangelove, that's great, and he can do it, and the makeup makes it look great. You don't know. But this one was just the reason I mentioned it is, yeah, he's playing Costello, and he's playing the same scene opposite himself.
Okay,
it's too much.
I haven't seen it.
Well, the script has been hanging around Hollywood for 25 years, maybe for a reason.
Mm.
It's just not that interesting. They spent $45 million on this movie, and it's made 3.2 its opening weekend.
So it's going to be a bust.
Mm.
Yeah. I know who I am. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, and it's written by Nicholas Pileggi, who wrote Casino and wrote Goodfellas. So you think, like, hey, this is going to work, but it hasn't. So, yeah, it's one that I saw the ads for. You and I were just talking off the air. Remember, as much as we love Martin Scorsese, my God, The Irishman wouldn't end. Was that 4 hours long?
It was long.
And I'm usually the guy that never complains about length of a project. I'll sit through a good movie no matter how long it goes. But in this one, yikes. He plays both Frank Costello and Vito Genovese. And a lot of people say it's horrible.
All right. Well, now that you've told me, I won't waste the time.
Because remember The Irishman, the funny thing is they took, like, De Niro.
Made him young.
But they put, like, a young De Niro's face, but it's still an old De Niro. So when he's beating a guy up, it looks like an 80-year-old man kicking a guy in the ground.
The CGI was not what it needed.
It didn't make a lot of sense. All right, man. I know a lot of folks in SEC country, now Big Ten country, never really vibed Gary Danielson. I personally never had a problem with the guy. I know our boy Brad Nessler likes him, has worked with him. I think, you know, if you have a bad season or your team's getting some calls you don't feel are going your way and you feel the announcer's piling on, maybe. But hell, we even had guys who didn't like Vern. And I thought Vern Lundquist was the funnest, sweetest guy on the planet.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you don't have Gary Danielson to kick around much longer, he's going to retire. This is his last year on CBS in 2025.
Look, I think he's done a terrific job. When you do it as long as he's done it, the criticism comes, Mike, when you've been critical of every school in the SEC, every school in the South.
Right.
But specifically the SEC. So I get why some fan bases felt like he was either against them. But I will say this, like, as a broadcaster, all you're hoping for is a good game.
Right.
And then if you get drama within the game, you address it. But not. I don't think Gary went into any game and went, you know what? I'm rooting against Auburn today.
Yeah, I get it. You know, for many, many years, we've had to deal with a certain announcer on NBC. Hey there, Mike. Yeah, we all know who he is. Chris Collinsworth always mentions 28-3 if it has anything to do with the Falcons or Tom Brady. We get that. But, I mean, he still does a decent job. You and I have said he's usually on point with his analysis, but I never understood the Gary Danielson hate. But anyway, he's out, and as Chris mentioned up in Yeah Man, No Man, next year, our buddy CD, Charles Davis, former Tennessee defensive back, will move up into that role, and that means that J.J. Watt Watt will go into the booth, meaning one less position, or maybe they will fill the position on the CBS studio show following next year.
So the studio show is Matt. Who's the other person?
Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson.
Oh, Cowher's still there. That's right.
Right?
Yep. Yep. That's right. Yep.
And I always, you know me, I just, three guys.
And James. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to need all those dudes. Because as we always joke around, same thing, remember like Tony Gonzalez, Michael Strahan, God bless him. That guy's stealing money. Good Morning America, flies out to L.A. for Fox. I really think the Giants can win this game. And then that's it. And he makes like literally 5 seconds of comments, cha-ching, cash that check.
It's true. Look,
and Jimmy Johnson who's stepping down on the Fox show, the Fox broadcast.
Yeah, well, have they mentioned anything about remember who they're going to bring in there or they're going to leave it alone? Mm. Oh, Edelman's going to take over there.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're not. It's still going to be a five. It's still going to be a five-man show.
Gronk smash, and Gronk's been kind of fun. But
he has.
To me, I don't know. Maybe we're too close to it because we're talking football all week. Hey, man, I was talking about this off the air with Carl, so I'll bring it up, put it on the air again. We're sports talk, and you come here for obviously escape from politics, so we'll stay in our lane. This is just a guy talk comment because I can't think of anything more chicken-ish than any person keying another person's car. Usually that's reserved for your crazy ex-girlfriend in college to do that to your current girlfriend. Reason I bring it up is guys are keying Teslas. Mm. People are doing this. The thing now is when they find the people that are doing it on closed circuit or they're getting arrested, people are going public and basically shaming the people that are keying, which I say huzzah to.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, look, if you don't agree with someone's politics, well, you see, it's one thing if you see a bumper sticker on a car. Okay, you know where the guy stands or a person stands. But the problem with the Tesla thing is some of those people maybe didn't vote for the guy you don't like that you're keying the car over in the first place. You know what I mean? A lot of Tesla folks, generally people want to save the environment. They generally lean a little left. Not everybody. I don't want to make a broad generalization. But the thing is, you're keying somebody's car. You don't know what their political stance is.
No, you don't. No.
It's like, what are you going to do? You're going to see something you don't like on a bumper sticker? You're going to run the guy off the road?
Well, as a matter of fact, to your point about the guy that makes Tesla, people were buying those cars because of the environment.
The green appeal.
And correct. And I don't know if that's red or blue. I think that's somewhere
it
in between.
Either or.
And you're absolutely right. You don't know. You don't ever assume because somebody's driving a certain kind of vehicle that they lean one way or the other. Either way, I'm going to tell you right now, you better not.
Hey,
I'm going to tell you right.
To me, in the Wild West,
you better not.
You don't mess with a man's horse. I'm telling you, I will spend a night in jail if I can. That's the thing. It's the most chicken blank thing. You want to wait? Now, again, I'm not advising people to wait for someone to come out of Walmart and start yelling at them about their policy. Because, again, you don't know. Just a car.
You don't know.
If you have a political bumper sticker, then, okay, you could say that guy voted for somebody you don't like. But even then, it's still a free freaking country, regardless of how screwed up the country is in your mind.
Yeah, totally agree.
Just blew my mind because we're car guys. And especially with somebody, if that's your only car in your van, and that's a nightmare.
And by the way,
taking that to a body shop is a nightmare.
I agree. Yes, they're not cheap to fix.
Right. So there you go. That's my rant of the day. One final note. We talked about Kirby basically saying he needs some dogs on this dog team. I did get a kick out of him saying he needs an entire team of Gunner Stocktons, which, you know, kind of goes back to toughness. I did get a kick. You see, they asked Gunner about, did Carson Beck tell you he was leaving for Miami? You know what Gunner said? He had a lot of stuff going on.
He did. He really did. I mean, honestly, at the time, he had the girlfriend. I think, Mike, they had told him privately,
right,
probably best you leave.
Right.
I think there's a lot of stuff going on.
Here's Gunner asked about it in Athens.
When did you find out that Carson Beck was transferring instead of going to the NFL? And if Mike Vogel let you throw your favorite route, what would it be?
I found out. Did you say when Carson went where?
Transferred by now.
Like everybody, I saw it on the stuff. So, he was busy.
There you go. There's Gunner. Hey, man, there's your guy talk. And don't forget, coming up this week, we're busy, man. Tomorrow will be a Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Tournament action. We'll also have lots of Braves-centric stuff before they have first pitch. And then on Friday, we're going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to hanging out, watching the tournament. Oh, as a matter of fact, be sure to join us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Thursday, Twin Peaks Buckhead. We get you ready for the regional round of college basketball championship. We're broadcasting live from there from 2 to 7. That's Thursday at Twin Peaks at Buckhead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Great stuff. Coming up, Falcon Report. And guys, there's a lot of stuff going on around the NFL that could affect Kirk Cousins. We'll fill you in on that next.